everyone. Welcome to Terminal Velocity Limited. This is the limited podcast that we do, usually about comic books of note. I'm one of your hosts, Scott.
And I'm Andrew.
And this special edition, we're actually going to dive into a book that concluded its, it feels like a 12-week run. I think it has been about 12 weeks. We're going to be talking about Jonathan Hickman's House of X and Powers of 10 now that it's wrapped up. This has been, we've been on a, I wouldn't call it a hiatus, but we've been kind of figuring out our recording schedule. Wanted to let everybody know we will be getting back on track with things. But given the hype around this book and the fact that it just dropped today, we wanted to jump in and quickly do a quick review and recap of the entire Jonathan Hickman run. Warts and all, I'll say.
Yeah, this is, well, I consider myself Andrew X now. This is my 10th rebirth.
Is it the and, real Andrew or is it the
one day? I'm not quite sure because I feel like there's a part of my memory missing the last 2 weeks.
That will definitely be, I think, a part of the conversation that comes up. We have differing feelings on just whether that's a really, really big deal or not.
Well, let me just say something I just realized right now when you said this was a 12-week run. They got me again. The first thing they had me with the stupid 10-issue Age of X-Men lead-up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, never again will I pick up another weekly X-Men book. And then I immediately pick up this next one that's even longer and more expensive.
But it was the difference between those two?
There's quality here this time.
Exactly. There's a marked difference in quality on this one. And to keep things true to form, it maintained the data sheets for you to dive into.
Did it ever? I also had to say one thing when and I'm jumping ahead here to Powers of 10 number 6. Did you start reading it and then feel like, am I reading the right issue? And I actually closed it to check that I opened the right issue.
I did have the quick sense that, oh shit, did I just buy the wrong one?
I think it's literally like, by, it's like only until you get to like page 10 do you, yeah. It's like, oh, it's a different issue.
Yeah,
because they literally, I think they literally, and I mean, I could be wrong, I didn't go back and look at the other issue, but I swear to God, it's panel per panel, the same. Yep. Just yep. It basically reprinted.
Is, yeah.
Was there any difference? Like, they didn't redraw it or anything? It's literally identical?
I'm pretty sure it's identical.
Son of a bitch.
No, they wouldn't have redrawn it. I think they just repurposed that.
But it's a third of the book.
Yeah.
It's a third of the book.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big concluding issue. It's, I think, 50 plus pages.
I literally didn't need the whole recap. They literally could have gone to the shocker page where he's reading her mind. That's where they could have opened this issue.
Yeah, they could have. But I still appreciate it. I enjoyed the storytelling of the whole thing.
He's telling it like a TV show or a movie where it's got to go back to, it's like the part that you thought was the end is actually the beginning, and or, you know, whatever.
So what we'll do is we'll do a quick recap of the House of X and the Powers of 10 kind of as a whole story. We won't go issue by issue. We've already covered some of the issues in our feed, so you can go back in there and look for some of the Terminal Velocity Limited, where we've covered a good few of those. We've also covered the remaining issues in our regular episodes under the X-Mansion title. Or sections of those shows.
I guess we
can talk about the concept of it, maybe.
Well, the last time we talked about it, did we get to Gold Balls and all that?
I think we did. So we got to.
Or I should say Andrew 9.
Yes. Yes, that might be the part of the memory that's missing. We did get to the cloning aspect of things. And I was still of the opinion, and I still maintain the opinion, I think it works in the context of this story. It didn't work in something like Spider-Man the Clone Saga because of quality of execution, but in this one it does.
I beg to differ. I think that if Marvel had stuck to their guns, they could have made it work. And I don't mean like the dragged on clone saga. I mean like once they had made the decision to go, okay, it's Ben Reilly is now the true Spider-Man and we're moving forward.
Yeah.
I think they should have stuck there. Like, honestly, they should have just stuck to their guns on that instead of the messy shit that they ended up doing, you know, where they, you know, maybe executed a baby and, or sorry, aborted a baby and dissolved the marriage and threw a deal with the devil and yeah. All the mess that Spider-Man had been for like 10 years after that, all that time frame. Because that is a generational reset. Like, why did they suddenly care what people thought after putting them through like 3 years of the Clone Saga?
Hello and welcome to Clone Saga Therapy.
I agree with you. It was
tired and it was overused in the Spider-Man story. And if it gets overused in this, it'll be an issue. But they also the difference here is that they cloned and repurposed memories and thoughts and everything from the same people into those same bodies. It's not that they created two people and gave them varying personalities and identities.
True. But how does someone like Cable and Strife make sense now? Like if she's altered the universe in the past and the future and all that, why does someone like Cable exist as is when they show how early Xavier and Magneto and Sinister and all them got together? What, Sinister still went and created Cable?
Well, we don't know. This is the thing. I mean,
or no, he didn't. Sorry, he didn't create Cable. That was Madeline Pryor and shit.
There is a certain level of this that you have no idea what continuity still remains. In true X-Men form, you know, the past is a complete hodgepodge and mess, and it'll only be whatever the writers want it to be going forward. So did Executioner's Song happen? I have no idea. Did all the stuff with Apocalypse actually happen where he took over, you know, various mutants? Because in some of her data sheets, Moira talks about making sure that he doesn't get his hands on certain Omega level mutants. So it's just what is actually maintained in their continuity and in their history. I have no idea. It's a soft but all encompassing reset on the X universe.
I'm gonna call it a soft, harsh reset because like even like Forge, like he was dead, right?
He was at one point, yeah.
Like he wasn't still around until this series picks up, right?
I don't believe so, yeah.
And then, like, we see, like, Generation X mutants being resurrected. And, like, I'm curious to see who else is back and who's not. Mm-hmm. Like, is Legion around? Like, I know
Proteus is.
Proteus is McTaggart's son, right?
Yeah, and he's one of the ones that's in the Resurrection 5. Or whatever they call them.
Right. Yeah, I call this a soft, harsh reset because I do think, you know, our core X-Men that we saw die in that previous issue, they're dead. Like that. However, if you have to kill off your characters and kind of start anew without resetting the universe, like going, you know, DC Crisis level reset, this is kind of a way to do it. Like it's
bold, that's for sure.
Yeah, like, see, I can't discount the fact that they have, in fact, killed their characters. Like, these are not the original X-Men. They are excellent, excellent, excellent copies. But, I mean, maybe that's my existential, like, belief. Like, your person can't be copied. Not truly. Can't, or you know what, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, yeah.
I am disappointed about one major thing in the final issue, though.
What's that?
How does Wolverine have his adamantium skeleton?
Yeah, that's never been answered with Gold the whole cloning procedure.
I don't buy that the cloning procedure could recreates his adamantium skeleton. So why did they do that? That was like torture for him. Like, shouldn't he be preserved as his natural form?
Well, maybe it's something that Proteus does as well when he gives the egg. That because he has to shift reality in order to make it something that can hold life. Maybe he does that per mutant.
That's ugly.
It is ugly, and it maybe it ties in more with even what Sinister is doing with everybody's genetic code. Maybe that genetic bonding or something has gone on with, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea how they actually do it with Logan, but.
Now, I also want to point out something, too, and I don't mean to turn this into the shit on Hickman's X-Men, because
no,
like, I frankly enjoyed it, but I do have these kind of little, you know, fanboy gripes, like why Hank McCoy is still a fuzzy blue beast, like, they didn't think to, like, hey, Hank, we know that this causes you great emotional strife. Let's bring back your original body for you. Since that's what that's been his like drive and what fucks up his whole mutation. How many times?
Well, his was a secondary mutation anyway. That makes him into the beast. So that's their.
I thought he triggered the was that just a movie creation?
No, I think he did the experimentation and it happened to him in the comics. But then the secondary mutation that Morrison introduced made
the
him
the cat thing,
the more cat thing, as opposed to the monsterish.
Well, Sinister's tweaking with their genetics, man. Like he could have fixed that.
Yep, anything could have happened.
But then I guess maybe they're saying now that they have like a mutant society, none of them, they all just don't care anymore.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm okay to be a weird fuzzy blue beast.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's actually, I think, the biggest thing that Hickman is. So Hickman is introduced, I think, maybe three large X-universe like altering concepts. One, the resurrections with the copying of the mind and everything with Sinister. Two is Moira McTaggart and her being an actual mutant, and her power is that of resurrection, and she recalls everything from her previous lives. And then the third thing is this kind of all-encompassing, not giving a fuck mutant nation, really is like the third thing that they've introduced. And they've toyed with the concept before, but now they've actually got, you know, good guys and bad guys all blended together under one massive mutant nation, and you're left in the entire series not knowing whether you're actually reading a story of the good guys or the story of the bad guys.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're the bad guys at the moment, but
it's really unclear, though, because humans are still going to have their sentinels. They're still going to hunt them down. We're still going to find out everything that goes on in X-Men and Marauders and Excalibur and all those new titles that are going to be coming out. So there has to be some kind of strife that they're all going against. But like, are we going to be reading it from the side of, you know, those that are beaten down and the downtrodden? Or are we looking at those that are stepping on others? And I don't know. You know, it's hard to say who you're actually rooting for by the time you're done reading this book.
I'm rooting for excellent stories. So I've gotten to a point where I can accept like these dramatic changes. Mm-hmm. When it fits, unlike DC at the moment and the rumored 5G nonsense that's coming up.
Yeah, that's just.
I can't say I haven't been this entrenched in the Marvel ecosystem in a long time, and it's surprising to me. It's still, I think Hickman's X-Men has a big part of it. I think I came to the realization that I'm just really enjoying what Marvel's putting out, and these kind of changes, these kind of bold shakeups fit Marvel. Like it just. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be able to articulate it properly, but I just feel like this makes sense in a Marvel comic, whereas DC is trying to take this approach, but it doesn't work with DC. DC, to me, those characters are so untouchable in a sense that they rely on them being icons.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you want to go and change Bruce Wayne, Batman, it doesn't work ultimately.
Yeah, for some reason in DC, it feels like change for the sake of change.
Mm-hmm.
But in Marvel, it feels like change because it's actually part of not only the story, but something that would happen in that world.
Well, I think the Marvel Comics theme in general is just about getting fucked over. So.
There are no happy heroes, but they end up being happy.
It's like Daredevil, Spider-Man, X-Men. It's like, yeah. Man, where DC, it's about being like godlike superheroes. Like, it's a different thing. And, good luck to them with 5G. I think the generational ship just left without me. but I'll still check some things out, but I'm definitely loving where Marvel's going. And, you know, X-Men hasn't been this relevant in a long time. Like, I dare say this might be the most they've been relevant since their creation. And, I'm discounting a few things there. Like, I mean, like you mentioned Morrison's run, which I've committed the sacrilege. I've never actually read it. I literally, nothing has really pulled me in like this since even like the 90s X-Men, like when they were kind of in their heyday.
Yeah.
So, I think one of the still the most compelling page out of all of this whole run for me is the shot of Xavier and Apocalypse shaking hands.
Yeah, that's something else.
I don't. It's the way it's composed, the angle, the sun just kind of beaming down over it, and like it's just like it's like the most unholy moment in Xavier's history, I think.
Yeah.
And like this man became Onslaught. So like, it's just so like it really sets the tone like of where the X-Men are going, and. I keep looking at the setup for their what they call it, the Silent Council.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is such a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, things are either that's what I mean by like I don't know who I'm actually rooting for, because you've got half the people at the table can be trusted and the other half can't. And
it's almost like the real government.
Yeah, and I really don't know if I can even trust Xavier.
Well, I don't think you can. I think the final issue made a good point, and of course, spoilers, right? Moira, and I did read the data pages, believe it or not. Initially, I didn't in my first read. I skipped them, came back later. But she talks about, she had to break Xavier to like get him kind of in line with what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
It just really shows you like the slippery moral compass that that Moira has. She's maybe the most terrifying mutant in the whole thing.
Well, that's the thing. I used to say, and I think lots of other people used to say, the X-Men's greatest villain is Charles Xavier. That might actually be replaced by Moira.
Now I'm wondering, like, is he? was he?
Yeah.
Like, how much is like him versus her corruption.
Yeah, her manipulations and everything. And I love the data pages because they talk about the fact that, for everything they do, Magneto is there to keep them in check because he will not waver once he's made up his mind.
Yeah, let me ask you something about Magneto, because this was actually, and my next thought was, there's a journal page where she's talking about we've lost Magneto. Did I miss something, or is this something just being kind of hinted at?
I think it's something being hinted at.
So I'm like, oh shit. what does that mean?
Yeah. But he's back and he ends up back on board, I believe. It depends on entirely when those journal entries actually relate to the timeline.
I mean, there's a few other outliers too, right? There's still Namor.
Yeah, and he showed up in one of the earlier issues basically telling them, once you have your shit together, then come and find me. Until then, fuck off.
Now I'm really curious what this is the best thing about this whole these two series. Now they could have very well have still just been a 12 issue X-Men series. Like, I don't think it needed to be this 6 issue thing here and 6 mm-hmm. issue thing there. Like, but where was it going? It's just so much. There's so much to digest here. Like, all the future stuff we were looking at wasn't even the current timeline. That's all been reset.
It's all been a fake out just to show you that, okay, that was Moira 6, I think it was.
Yeah, which is crazy. So like 7, 8, and 9, and now 10, right? It's like, what else? Like, he's given himself such room to play with, to like mind fuck you as he goes along. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was funny that Wolverine just continues on always.
Yep.
Now I'm wondering like what Moira did to be basically immortal to survive as long as she did. We aren't really given the exact, I mean, maybe she had another form of the mutant cloning or whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, mutant resurrection, that they had going on, that got her put into the zoo or whatever that.
Yeah. Because they talk about that at one point in the data sheets, I think, that she was, bonded with a Shi'ar husk of some sort.
Oh, so, okay. So yeah, it's the early stages of, I guess, of the resurrection technology.
Yeah. Something like that. So she goes and she does that and then, sends that thing out to die, and she like leaves the world and kind of operates in the shadows for a while. So now, I would assume even in the future technology that kind of thing has been used.
Well, there's a few things in this final issue too that I thought was really cool too. It's like when it's talking about the how the Sentinels bought them years, I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm thinking, all right, here comes some Sentinel stories.
Yeah.
And Nimrod as well, like that, we kind of never got any true resolution to the stories they were telling with that. So I imagine that's going to come back.
Yeah, Sentinels bought the humans years and Nimrod's bought them decades, but mutants always thought, and I think that's the fourth other concept that Hickman really introduced here, is that no matter what has happened up to this point, they always lose, and mutants are not the next evolution of man.
Well, did you notice how they draw Moira too here? They give her the blackest eyes, like she's just soulless.
Yep. Yeah, I'm just looking at a page where she's sitting there on the bench.
Just blank, like she's like a serial killer, like she just does not care. Mm-hmm. She has her goal in mind, and it just whatever.
I gotta say, I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna read all 12 of these issues at some point in the very near future, just to pull it all back in.
Well, I liked how they also with the reading order, how it shows you at the end and the last issue, it shows you that issue 6 is actually the first issue.
Yes.
Or no, I guess not. Sorry, it's the first issue of the leading into the dawn of X-Men.
Of the new stuff, yeah.
But yeah, like man. Now I didn't go so far to try and decrypt the glyph pages that we got treated to. I'm sure there'll be an article coming up.
Yeah, I think that'll do the work for me. I think one of the articles said that one of these glyphs is next X-Men.
Okay.
Something like that. So I think it's just kind of, it'll be probably redoing the reading order.
Now, maybe we should talk about the kind of the big reveal of this final issue. It's basically revealing that everything is kind of built on a foundation of a lie.
Yes.
They are basically know that all of the other outcomes of Moira's attempts at, I guess, saving the mutant race, which is not entirely true even because she tried to eliminate them at one point, is that they always lose. Mm-hmm. And the other big reveal is that that mutants, they've declared to the world that mutants are the next in a step in evolution. And whereas they're kind of the glass ceiling of evolution, in the far future, the humans find other ways and evolve through means of augmentation technology and a change to their environment, which is a nice touch. Like, when you talk about evolution, because like part of the theory of evolution is it has to do very much to do with the environment in which the species is developing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can I say that the little T scenes were unsettling?
That, yeah, the whole thing is unsettling.
Like, and Xavier's just sipping his tea. Like, we know, like, I'm like, oh man, he's so like, this is not Charlie.
Yeah.
Like his dream is gone. He's just a dictator. Like, and that's scary. Like, I almost wonder if the Cerebro is part suppressing him in a way. Like, it's keeping him in line in some way.
Yeah.
He's so busy, like, I guess, copying all the brainwaves every week.
Well, that's what I mean. It's you don't know who you're rooting for, and you don't know whether you're reading the story of this is how the villains take over, or this is just good people gone bad. Like, you genuinely have no idea.
It's weird when Magneto and Apocalypse don't seem like the worst villains.
When all of a sudden they're on the core team, you know, shit's gone sideways.
And you look at the cover, and it's literally Moira standing on the corpses of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that says a lot. Can I say that, like, it almost made me think she was Jubilee there for a second with the yellow trench coat? And it's like,
I mean, thankfully,
who knew Jubilee was the mastermind of everything?
Yeah. Oh, this has been one hell of a series. It's been my pick of the week many, many times, and I thoroughly enjoyed this. I haven't, you know, I was singing the praises of, Extinction Event? Was that what it was?
Extermination.
Extermination. I loved that series for just how bombastic it was and fun. This has just been methodical, and seeing the new world building and even just the completion of this part of the story so well executed has been absolutely fantastic.
I couldn't agree more. It's paved the way for some exciting X-Men stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that I necessarily buy like every book that they're launching.
No.
Like, let's take a look here. So we have Dawn of X, which will encompass X-Men number one.
Yep.
Marauders number one, Excalibur number one, X-Force number one, New Mutants number one, and Fallen Angels. And I'm maybe going to follow 50% of those.
Yeah, I would say I'm probably going to do the same.
But, I mean, I think that they're trying to give you kind of a diverse range of books, like, to kind of appeal to your interests.
Mm-hmm.
The whole pirate ship Marauders thing doesn't really apply to, like, appeal to me, so I don't think I'll likely pick that one up. Obviously I'm going to pick up X-Men, I'm going to pick up X-Force, and I'm going to check out New Mutants. I'm curious to see what their idea of New Mutants is in this kind of post House of X storyline. Like,
yeah,
because Xavier's dream is completely changed and corrupted at this point. So, I really don't know what to think. X-Force also sounds interesting to me. Like, they're saying that they're kind of like, it represents the CIA of the of Krakoa.
Mm-hmm.
What that means, we'll find out. Those books are exciting, and the book I'm actually really excited about is Phase 2 that they've announced, which they're relaunching Wolverine with Ben Percy and Adam Kubert.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Kubert is by far my favorite Wolverine artist in historically, so I'm so excited to see his kind of return. Hopefully it's for a decent run, and if they have to make it a bi-monthly book, I'm okay with that. But
whatever has to happen to get him on the book.
Yeah, I'll take it. But it's this feels like the Empire Strikes Back ending. If you get what I mean, like, I mean, they're celebrating and everything's supposed to be happy, but man, like, it, they're all like chanting around a fire pit and going crazy. Like, everything seems so dark.
I know. And
Magneto's all in white, and it's like the darkest he's ever been.
Yes. This is the most evil I think he's ever been without being evil. If that makes any sense at all to anybody, but that's, I mean, I can't put it into words just how excited I am for this phase. I just hope it doesn't turn into too much of 90s X-Men where things got way too crazy and there was too many books.
Yeah.
Too many X books out there, but Yeah, I'm happy for a return to form. I really am. It's been too long since we've had some solid X-Men stuff. So,
well, how long do you think that this like kind of Hickman era is going to kind of last? Like, do you think by the time he's done it, they reset it all, or do you think this is kind of like this is it going forward?
I mean, definitely when he's done, some there's going to be some kind of reset-ish type story that happens. Mm-hmm. Or they'll just ignore the whole cloning aspect and keep moving forward. Oh,
they absolutely will. I mean, if you look at even Spider-Man, right? Like, if you really look at the nitty-gritty, like, he's not exactly the original either.
No. Yeah.
It's kind of like, how do I put it? It's like he died in the other. He got reset with one more day.
Mm-hmm.
He then dies fighting Doc Ock by his mind being transferred into Ock's dying body and Ock putting his brain in Peter's, and then kind of like an essence or digital copy or something remnant is what kind of restores Peter. So
yeah.
And then again, you look at Iron Man, Tony Stark is like a copy of him as well. It's like an AI copy or some shit. So it seems to be that like they're resetting the table.
the concept of self at Marvel is extremely fluid.
I mean, Tony Stark, another example is like the original Tony Stark became like a mad drunk and
he never came back and he
went evil and died. And then they brought in an alternate reality teenage Tony Stark who came in before Onslaught, then shifted into the pocket universe created by Franklin Richards, which somehow made him adult Tony Stark again. Mm-hmm. And then when he came back from Heroes Return, he was an amalgamation of both Tony Starks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, this is in the DNA of Marvel to kind of reset their characters in this fashion. And again, this is why it doesn't work with DC, where it's like, oh, they die and someone else takes up the mantle. And it lasts for a year or two, and then they go back because it just doesn't...
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to read about John Smith, that Batman. They want to read Bruce Wayne Batman. Like, no one wants to read Howard Johnson Superman. They want Clark Kent. So,
Howard Johnson. The Mighty Hojo.
Oh, man. He will check you in the hotel in faster than a speeding...
faster than a speeding bullet. Stronger. Stronger
faster
than still Chris
5G, 5G signal.
More filling than a continental breakfast. Yeah.
I love that one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so, man. Yeah, X-Men. It's exciting. That council, that the Silent Council, is totally going to screw them. Fucking over Sabretooth that way is definitely going to screw them.
Yeah, that's definitely going to come back to them. And like, I'm pretty sure I saw Sabretooth in the future.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's one of the things that jumps at that librarian person.
I was thinking that same thing, actually. Let me try and look at that page again.
Yeah, I'm just trying to scroll back to it.
Where she like stops it and flings it back.
Yeah.
I think, and they purposely don't. Yeah, no, it's got the arms and the his gloves and everything. That's totally Sabretooth. But then again, that doesn't matter really.
This
was reset. So they've still screwed him over. So it's going to come back.
It's going to bite them in the ass. But I was just like, okay, so 1,000 years from then, he is at least alive still. So there's still stories to tell with Sabretooth.
I wouldn't even put it past Krakoa fucking them over.
Anything's possible.
Like, I wonder how much of Krakoa is like, how do you put it?
Benevolent.
Benevolent. Also like consensual. Like,
mm-hmm.
Was it really like, hey, come on guys, come live on my island. Also my being. Like, well, the fact that Moira has no morals, and apparently Magneto and Xavier don't either. I wouldn't put it past them to like that they lobotomize or control Krakoa to a degree.
Well, Krakoa, the original that we saw, feeds off of the energy of mutants.
Huh.
So that's one thing to keep in mind. Krakoa has also been part of the Xavier School for like a decade now within the comics. Okay. But it was also introduced that Apocalypse and Krakoa go way back and are buds. So Krakoa could end up being one of the horsemen for all we fucking know at some point.
It's true.
When Apocalypse decides he's had enough.
Damn.
So anything is possible at this point with what's going on. I mean, these are hints at some stories that are just even remotely possible in this new world. So with that, what would you give the overall, what would your rating be for the House of X and Powers of 10 as a completed storyline?
So as a completed storyline, and despite my gripes, my issues with the cloning reset, the reusing of the exact same panels for multiple pages, and then the 1/3 of the entire story being data pages, I would still give this 10. What could it be this time? Fuck it. 10 X-Mansions out of 10. It was a great reset of the X-Men. It's got all the drama you could expect in an X-book. They're not necessarily the heroes of this story, so it's I look forward to how this, the story potential that comes out of this. I look forward to how this meshes with the Marvel Universe, because I don't like, mutants are really not going to be on the top of the chain here, especially now that they're like pushing their drugs on the humanity.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that. That's true.
So like they're doing some underhanded shit in this, and I can't imagine the Avengers and the Fantastic Four are going to be too fucking happy about it. So I'm curious to see how that plays out. I mean, also, if you look at characters like the Fantastic Four, like Spider-Man or Daredevil, they are kind of a more accurate representation of the next evolution of humanity. Like, they're the post-human beings who, you know, got powers through other augmentations. So, like, how that is, in a sense, kind of a threat to the X-Men and the House of Lies they built. Like, this, that's it. And maybe this isn't the best analogy in today's climate, but it kind of has that feeling that House of Cards had, where it's like, ugh, this is kind of dirty.
I never ended up actually reading that part or watching that show, so I can't.
Well, it's about a corrupt politician who's literally a murderer, and he like murders, cheats, and steals to his way to the top to steal the presidency.
Oh, very good.
Which is befitting of what the fucking lead actor ended up being anyway. So
yeah.
But before all that, like just like that grimy feel that show kind of leaves you with, you're just like, I don't really root for you, but it's damn good entertainment.
Yeah.
So like I will, despite how much I really, really, really hate those data pages. 10 X-Mansions out of 10.
I would agree. This is a solid 10 out of 10. This is a solid 5 Krakoan flowers out of 5. This was world building at its finest, and this is setting a new status quo for the X-Men. And I cannot wait to be reading more of these titles. I agree with everything that you said, and that's my two cents. I can't fucking wait to read more of this.
Yeah. I do hope that the other series, though, like, do play more within the Marvel Universe. Like, I want to see more, like, the interaction. And now that we have established the base of what being a mutant means in the Marvel Universe now and its current status quo. So, like, I want to see how that impacts relations with the other heroes, other humans. Like, mm-hmm. are you going to see people aligning differently than you would have in the past, right? Like, what will drive the plots of the new X titles?
That is what I'm most interested in. I will get very bored if it's simply pharmaceutical politics about what countries are allowed.
You don't want episode 1 through 3 done to your X-Men here?
No, I don't need a Rexall of X-Men.
There's a trade embargo on our drugs, Xavier. Oh, yeah. You better call Emma. We got to get it in the black market. This is... it's not good for business.
Yeah, but I'm very much interested into seeing what the strife is. Obviously, Sentinels and Nimrods will be an issue. Obviously, other time-traveling things will end up being an issue, and the reemergence at some point of this Destiny character
will be an issue. Does editorial have a grasp on this story? is what I'm also wondering. Like, they're not going to tell like some other story in another book that's coexisting. And that completely negates what's happening here. Like, I hope not. I hope that, like, and I mean, there seems to be a lot more collaboration going on at Marvel. Like, the event book that's coming up, what was it called? The murder mystery one that's coming up. I forget the title already.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the name of it
but,
either.
But, I mean, it's a massive collaboration with all the kind of the houses of Marvel. So, maybe this is how they kind of streamline things, and I'm kind of curious to see how that works.
Yeah, it's the benefit of having a writer summit as opposed to, you know, a super book summit and a bat book summit. It's an actual writer summit where they all get together and pitch their storylines
and make them all fit and work.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, because like the evil trinity of X-Men here with Xavier, Magneto, and Apocalypse seem to feature into this storyline, this event, I might check it out. Begrudgingly, because I'm getting sick of events. Like, I just want to see the stories play out in their books. But it kind of does tackle kind of what I'm wanting to see, I think, is how the X-Men play, the new status quo plays with the rest of the MCU. Mm-hmm. Or sorry, the Marvel U.
The other thing that I'm really looking forward to on all of this is Hickman has come out and said the X-Men book is going to be a lot more of a one and done type of stories. I'm really looking forward to that kind of thing where it's not necessarily these big, long, drawn out events that we're dealing with for issue upon issue upon issue upon issue.
It'll be quicker storylines. I hope there's a mix, though. Like, I hope that if a story warrants 3 issues, they go through.
Yeah, obviously.
But, I don't know if there's really much more I could say about it, but it's exciting.
Yep, definitely exciting. If you have any thoughts or opinions, definitely feel free to write us an email and send it to terminalvelocitypodcast@gmail.com or leave a comment and rating on your podcatcher of choice. Obviously, if you leave it in iTunes, it'll help us in the search algorithm. So definitely be in touch.
Yeah, you can also follow us at Comics Terminal on Twitter and Terminal Velocity Podcast on the other social media outlets. We'd love to hear what you think.
And that'll be it for now, but we will be posting another episode at some point over the weekend, whether it be Sunday or Monday morning. So definitely check your feed for that as well.
I don't know, Scott. I may have to reset the timeline again. I'm not sure yet.
Fair enough. Until then, we'll talk to you later.
Cheers. Take care.